April 5th, 2023, Halfcast 427, episode 427. Let's go. Of course, I have a few things to share with you guys. An evening of reflection. Shall we? A Texas man bragged about stealing $50,000 from a Mexican drug cartel. He was kidnapped less than 2 hours later and is still missing. In 2023, we should all be well aware of what these cartels get into. So if you ever have any dealings with them and live to tell about it, the best way to keep living is to not tell about it. A Texas man bragged about stealing $50,000 from a Mexican drug cartel. Less than 2 hours later, didn't even get a chance to spend any of the money. He was kidnapped by a group of armed men from a home in southern Texas and taken over the border. $50,000 is barely pocket change to these guys, so you already know it's more about the violation than it is about the money. The FBI says he's still missing, and we want to hope this guy comes out on the other end of this safe and sound, but it's a reality that we know how these cartels get down already. Witnesses overheard Eric Tadeo Ramirez bragging on a phone call to an unknown woman about stealing money from the Cartel del Noreste while he was at a house party in Laredo. You don't know how far these people reach extends. You don't know who's listening. A town close to the U.S. border with Mexico at about 11 p.m. on March 23rd, according to an affidavit reviewed by the Laredo Morning Times. I guess this is what it means when someone tells a person they can't keep their mouth shut to save their lives. At about 12:45 a.m. on March 24th, a group of two or three masked men arrived at the location in a blue Dodge pickup truck and assaulted Ramirez before forcing him into the car, the FBI said per the Morning Times. And that's definitely not a coincidence, because if multiple people overheard him bragging about stealing the money, it only takes one person to sell you out. The car then crossed into Mexico about an hour later with video footage showing a man with a bloody face trying to exit the passenger door of the vehicle while it was still in motion. He was pulled back inside the car, according to the affidavit. Sheesh, authorities determined that the car was registered to the mother of Jonathan Cabriales. He has since been arrested on the charge of kidnapping. According to the Morning Times, the car was parked outside of Cabriales' grandmother's house in Nuevo Laredo, which is over the border in Mexico. On the morning of March 24th, Cabriales is believed to have stayed at the property overnight. My guess is that they wanted Cabriales to do the driving because he had the legit paperwork and a legit registration, and they didn't need those type of problems moving back and forth across the border. Now, if he did know anything else, which I don't think he does, he's definitely not going to say anything. A day later on March 25th, FBI agents spoke to two individuals at the address Ramirez was taken from who said they witnessed Ramirez being kidnapped by two or three armed individuals, the Morning Times reported, citing court documents. On March 27th, U.S. Customs and Border Protection officers detained Cabriales after he crossed into the U.S. in the same Dodge pickup truck. And that's why I believe they just had him as a driver. They probably got a few people as drivers who just keep a good license and a good registration on their vehicle to take them back and forth across the border without any type of problems. In a post-arrest interview, Cabriales admitted that he drove the vehicle into Mexico on March 24th with a kidnapped victim along with three other people. The Morning Times reported he said he was aware that Ramirez had stolen approximately $50,000 from the Cartel del Noreste. Per the affidavit, the Cartel del Noreste, which is an offshoot of the Los Zetas cartel, is considered to be one of the most powerful criminal organizations in Mexico. That means that everybody on both sides of the border know very well not to mess with those people or their money. The rest of the men involved in the kidnapping remain at large. At this point, I don't think they're going to find the kidnappers, and chances are they're not going to find the victim, safe and sound anyway. The FBI told Insider that it is unable to comment due to the ongoing nature of this investigation. Next up. YouTuber plays prank on man who didn't take it very well in Virginia Mall, gets shot in the stomach. Police. Everybody not playing with y'all out there, man. Everybody not playing, and everybody doesn't want to play. And I guess that's the double-edged sword of the prank niche, is that if you ask for permission, if you give a heads up, then it's staged now. It's not even a prank anymore. A Virginia man was arrested after he allegedly pulled a gun and shot a YouTuber who was pranking people inside a mall, according to officials. Around noon on April 2nd, officers responded to Dulles Town Center Mall in Sterling about a shooting, according to the Loudoun County Sheriff's Office. Deputies arrived within minutes and found the suspect, 31-year-old Alan Coley, and arrested him. Officials said the victim, later identified as 21-year-old Tanner Cook, was found nearby with a gunshot wound to his abdomen. He was transported to a local hospital for treatment. And we've all seen a few prank videos, and some of them are funny. Most of them are funny, but let's be honest, a lot of them are straight violations that go way too far before the pranker announces that it's a joke. Investigators said the victim and suspect did not know each other prior to the shooting. And that's the thing, because if you know the person, or if you tell the person beforehand, then it doesn't have that genuine kick to it. Cook is a YouTuber known for his channel Classified Goons. WUSA TV reported he told WUSA that he was playing a prank and a simple joke, and this guy didn't take it very well, obviously. Did it call for this guy to get shot? Maybe not. Quite possibly not. But we're looking at an uptick in violence in public places, in schools, parking lots, grocery stores, malls. People are on a high alert. They got their head on a swivel. And while a prank or a joke might be funny to some, to others, they just want to protect their 3 feet. The incident was caught on video by Cook's friend, and that footage is now part of the evidence, WUSA reported. The bullet pierced Cook's liver and stomach, but his family told WUSA they believe he will pull through and recover. Despite the injuries, Cook said he will not stop making more videos in the future. Hey. Coley was charged with malicious wounding, use of a firearm, and commission of a felony, and discharging a firearm within a building. Official said he is scheduled to appear in court on April 5th. The mall was shut down for the day after the shooting, but reopened on April 3rd, official said. What are your thoughts? Do you think the prank culture is starting to take things too far and encroaching on people's rights to be left the hell alone? Or do you think people are just taking it way too serious? Next up, Florida man pulls out machete at a bar after request for another karaoke song denied, deputies say. How many times are you going to do Bohemian Rhapsody? The ladies want to do Summer Nights. Let them cook and we'll swing the mic back around to you. A Florida man was arrested Sunday after he allegedly whipped out a machete at a bar after his request to sing another karaoke song was denied, authorities said. First off, you whip out a knife, you whip out a switchblade, you don't whip out a machete. It's like 2 feet long. How did anyone not notice that he had it on him? Travis Jordan, 39, was charged with breach of peace, disorderly conduct in connection with the incident that unfolded just before 2 p.m. early in the afternoon Sunday at Kennedy's Lamp Post Tavern in Cape Canaveral, the Brevard County Sheriff's Office said. Jordan is accused of pulling out an 18-inch machete, not quite 2 feet, but it still should be some discomfort when you're singing Chicken Fried in front of a half-drunk crowd early in the afternoon, when an employee told him he couldn't sing another karaoke song, gave him a hard cutoff, WKMG-TV reported, citing an arrest affidavit. Apparently, our friend Mr. Jordan here didn't fully understand the rules of karaoke. Tell him about the gun line, boss, as when the stage lights turned off, he tried to force them back on by pulling out a machete he had concealed on him and demanding to do an encore, the sheriff's office said. No, he doesn't understand the rules. You only do an encore when the crowd asks for an encore. And I don't think the machete helped his chances either. An employee at the bar convinced Jordan to peacefully hand over the machete, according to the affidavit. Responding deputies said they found Jordan with bloodshot and glassy eyes, smelling of alcohol, and having difficulty standing, really committed to the full karaoke experience. Jordan, who appeared extremely intoxicated, told deputies that he keeps the machete on him because he always needs to stay alert, head on a swivel, according to the sheriff's office. That's right, keep your head up and your eyes open, because you never know when another machete-wielding karaoke singer might want to steal your song. Unfortunately, Jordan's actions didn't earn him another song on stage, but they did win him a trip to Ivy's Iron Bar Lodge, where every night is open mic night, and he can sing any song he wants all night long, the sheriff's office said. Fun show. Fun show. Fun show. That being said, I'm going to wrap this one up, but I'll be sure to talk to you guys very, very soon. Adios.